following program is brought to you by your friends at TheForce.net.
Oh, Maxi bit the Force.
And RebelScum.com.
You Rebel Scum.
The galaxy is listening.
Welcome to the Forcecast, your weekly dose of Star Wars news and much more.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe. I suggest we use it.
All systems have been alerted to your presence, sir.
Check it out, Corporal.
Roger, roger.
Now your hosts of the Forcecast, Jason and Pete.
We would be honored if you would join us.
And it is an honor every week to come at you with the Forcecast, this week's episode for January 19th, 2007. Remember, we are the official podcast of TheForce.net and RebelScum.com. Your weekly dose of Star Wars, and yes, the galaxy is listening. My name is Jason, and with me always, my good buddy Pete.
How could they not be listening?
I don't know. Isn't this, like, the best thing going on?
Sure.
From where I'm sitting.
Is
that what you wanted to say?
Yes. Without swearing, yes, that's what I wanted it to be.
Well, to kick things off here, we want to say thank you to our sponsor, Official Picks. And, you know, they were kind of in the news this week. Some cool things happening for them. Not really a big surprise, but it's just kind of nice to make it official that they have landed the contract from the folks at Lucasfilm to produce the autograph program at Celebration 4. So,
and they did it at Celebration 2 and Celebration 3. So they're veterans, and they did an outstanding job at Celebration 3. I'm sure everyone who went through there realized how...
It was probably the best... organized part of the show, really, to be honest with you.
It was, and it was the easiest to navigate, and you knew where you were going, so yeah. Look forward to what they'll be able to put together for C4.
Right, and they're kind of kicking things off with a bang already. They do have a website dedicated to following the news as it develops with their involvement with C4, so look for that on our show notes. Also, they have a newsletter, an email newsletter, that will be delivering these updates to you. If you sign up, you will get put in the runnings for a Sam Jackson autograph. That's pretty cool. There aren't very many people that can say they have a Sam Jackson autograph.
No.
And a free one.
To boot. And all you have to do is sign up for a newsletter.
To get news that you would want anyway.
Yeah.
So
it's win-win, people.
It's pretty simple. So head over to officialpicks.com. That's picks with an X.com. We'll have the link on our show notes. Well, we need to congratulate some winners. And I know what you're out there saying. You're saying, winners? What? Winners of what? You haven't done a contest in I don't know how long here on the Forcecast. Well, you got to be checking our forums. We've been plugging our forums for several months now, and things are kind of picking up over there, and there's more folks going and posting comments. And these are this is over at RebelScum.com. These are sort of the official forums for the Forcecast. And, well, Dustin Roberts went on there and made a post that he had a couple extra copies of the latest handheld game for the Nintendo DS and the Sony PSP, Star Wars Lethal Alliance. And he said, okay, I got a couple of these. So the first person to post a picture of themselves with a Twi'lek action figure and either a Nintendo DS or a Sony PSP, you get the game. And so we had two winners. Did not take very long.
It went very fast.
Yeah, GSR Jedi and Night Train, a.k.a. Kev and Mandy, were the winners. So congratulations to them. This just goes to show you've got to be checking out the forums because you never know what's going to be happening. And we were very, you know, we chose not to really advertise this on the show because, you know, we wanted to kind of give the folks that are going to the forums a little bit of love, you know? Speaking of love... We know you love the Forcecast, but you need to tell other people that you love the Forcecast. And there's a new way to do that. We need to know that you dig the Forcecast. And here's how you do it. Some of you out there are probably familiar with the website dig.com. It's one of these web 2.0 websites where it's all about, you know, social networking. And essentially what it does is it folks go in there and they post stories that they find on blogs or on other news websites, and people dig it or not dig it, whether it's a good story or interesting, or, and you never know what criteria people use. Maybe they're digging it because it's weird. Maybe they're digging it because they like it. But anyway, they have a podcast section now. So we're registered. We're on there. So all you have to do is go to dig.com, D-I-G-G.com. Now, the podcast section is in beta. So what you need to do is actually be a registered member of Dig to even look at the podcast section. But that's okay, because you need to be a registered member of Dig to vote. So it's kind of like Podcast Alley, only it's not a monthly thing. It's just you dig the show and you dig individual episodes. And Pete, you did it just not too long ago.
Yeah, it was fairly easy. I wanted to test it out, make sure it was something that we were sending people to do that was easy to get to, and we weren't asking them to jump through hoops and do backflips for us.
Right.
You know, we know your time is precious, so, you know, taking just a couple seconds. And it did. It really went real easy, and I was already a registered member, but I got on there, clicked through, and it was great.
Probably the hardest part is getting off the site, because there's so many interesting stories. Yeah,
you just start clicking through, and and you want to make sure your voice is heard, so you're digging it.
Right. So please dig the Forcecast. That's dig.com, D-I-G-G.com. And they also have a great podcast, Kevin Rose and Alex Albrecht. I listen to it just about every week. And so you might want to check that out, too, if you're, of course, you like podcasting. Why would you be listening if you didn't like podcasting? All right, let's turn it back to Star Wars now. And what better way than to let the folks out west know that it's coming? The Star Wars Museum exhibit, Where Science Meets Imagination, is coming to the California Science Center on February 11th, and it'll be running through April 29th. Now, we've covered this before. Pete and I went when it debuted in Columbus, and we had our moment with Jeremy Bullock. And
we don't know if he's going to be there, but
I don't think this says if there's going to be any celebrity sightings there on the opening day. There may be. Stay tuned to that, or contact someone at the California Science Center. But it's kind of a shame, because it ends April 29th, and of course C4 is just a couple of weeks after that. So,
but it can be a good primer for anybody that's out there on the West Coast.
No doubt about it. And it is really worth going to, and it's great for parents and kids, because it's very hands-on. There's a lot of things for the kids to do and touch and feel and smell, and it's made to be very interactive and a learning experience. So we'll have the links to that on our show notes. Now, as you know, since you're a listener to the Forcecast, you know that Star Wars fans are always involved in some sort of charitable work, and the folks over at StarWarsCards.net are no exception. They are having their annual charity auction to benefit Nothing But Nets. And Pete, you were telling me this is a charity that's new to me, but you've heard of them before.
Yes, it's an outstanding charity that provides nets for children in Africa to have over their houses and over their beds, to protect them from mosquitoes and bugs that carry disease, because that's a huge problem. And we take it for granted here in the U.S. that we have so many things that can keep us from getting these diseases, and we really don't even have some of these
problems. We've got the trucks that go down the road and spray.
Right, and you know, they have to be protected just even when they're sleeping. So this charity, Nothing But Net, will provide those for it. And it's been featured on by Rick Riley on Sports Illustrated, and I believe on Oprah, you said, as well. Mm-hmm. And now Star Wars is in on the action.
Right. StarWarsCards.net. Great site for, you know, following your or keeping track of your Star Wars trading card collection and any other Star Wars cards, for that matter. But they're having this auction, and it's they're not doing it with eBay or anything like that. They're, I believe, running it just through their site and through email. So you're going to be emailing your bids. So give it a try. Check it out over at StarWarsCards.net if you're interested. Now, also, as far as charity goes, the folks at Lucasfilm are auctioning off on eBay. It looks like more than one, but these are the Tournament of Roses 501st commemorative Stormtrooper action figures. Now, they're based on the 501st exclusive that was available at Comic-Con last year. But there's some tweaking to the packaging. There's a great shot of George Lucas sort of on the back of the card. In fact, I think you're actually getting a honorary membership trading card of George Lucas along with it. There's a whole bunch of things, goodies included in this package. All the proceeds go to the AIDS Emergency Fund and the Breast Cancer Emergency Fund. So we'll have the link to that auction on our show notes. It's already, as we're recording this, over $300. So, but that's a rare action figure. I mean, if you're into package variations, that's something you want to take a look at because, you know, I guess it was just given out to members of the 501st that were actually there marching in the parade and members of the Grambling State University marching band and then a few helpers like our friend Kelsey. She probably got one. Did you talk about that?
We did not, in fact, talk about that. I'm sure she did, though. But she has some other outstanding things to say about the day and the event. So tune into the Cantina later on in this podcast.
Yeah, I mean, we had. Oh, I hate when we go back on our promises. Last week, we had promised that we would have the full interview with the 501st as well as the full interview with Kelsey on our microcast this week. And it just, you know, it got to be a little bit long. And I didn't want to cut much of the fellas from the 501st because it's such a great interview. So we want to give Kelsey her due. So you'll get the full interview this week on this show with her going over all the details about what it was like to be queen for a day. So I'm sure it was very exciting for her. And speaking of excitement, oh yes, it's getting down to the wire. I think it's just amazing how quickly the time goes. Pete, where are we at?
We are at 18 weeks, and it seems like we just started doing these updates a couple days ago. But here we are. We're going to offer you another tip for your Star Wars Celebration 4 experience. And this one actually was provided to us by Darren Boffman, who's one of our dedicated listeners, and we appreciate Darren. And he
now that's I'm sorry, but that's Doodles, right?
It is Doodles. He is a clown. I'm not holding that against him in any way, shape, or form.
I emailed him and said, you know, you may be the very first clown I'm not terrified of.
It didn't do it for me. I'm still terrified. Sorry, that's just a little phobia. It's crazy. Anyway, moving on. He offers up, you know, attendees would need to take along a camera. But also, he suggested personalized cards. For anybody who might want copies of photos from or with other people, but don't want to spend a day searching for a pen and paper, although you should have those because that's one of our tips, and write out their emails, simply put this on a personalized card. Hi, I am so-and-so, and you took a photo of me with me. Please send a full-size copy to your email.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
So my email at...
Kind of like a business card.
Right. And then that's... You know, you don't have to go around it, and you're going to be taking a ton of photos. Let's face it, there's going to be so many people there. And if you can, you could just get emails and just exchange information. And what a better way to network with other Star Wars fans.
It's an awesome idea. It's a great idea. So thank Doodles to me. He's always going to be Doodles to me, for the suggestion. Also, while we're talking about Celebration 4, you might have noticed over at TheForce.net, there's no longer an Episode 3, as we call it, bucket on the main page, which was kind of sad. You know, it's like, it's over. But it's been replaced with a Celebration 4 bucket. It's a great kind of, you know, one-glance view of all the news. And especially, you know, we're down to 18 weeks. In the next few weeks,
it's going to start rolling.
Yeah, it's going to start rolling. So you want to keep up with that. And what better way than, you know, at a glance. So there you have it. Check it out. Celebration 4, 18 weeks to go and still counting.
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.
The Force Cast. Your weekly dose of Star Wars news and much more.
I have good news for you, my lord.
That's good news.
Come closer, I have good news.
All right, your news for this week, January 19th, 2007. We're going to start off with kind of a follow-up to a story that we had talked about last week. And Pete, why don't you go ahead and take this, because this is sweet revenge.
Well, as a dedicated listener of other podcasts as well, I listen to NPR's Le Show by Harry Shearer of Simpsons fame, and he actually had an email this week from one of the 501st members commenting on Bob Eubanks' comment about them needing to get a job. apparently, they have been flooding his email and the station's email, basically blasting them for his comments. And
it was an irresponsible comment.
It was. And he has issued some private apologies for the comments, but at this point still hasn't come out and said, I apologize to the 501st. I realize now that they are, in fact, not only great members of the Star Wars community, but also great members of their own communities as well. And that leads us into a great article following up on that on StarWars.com, Behind the Armor, the 501st Professionals. And there's a link on here or on our show notes to this story. It basically runs through all of the 501st members, or at least a small sample, I guess. You can't say all the 501st, because that would take a lot of website space. But talking about not only the charities that they contribute to, their time and their money, but also their real jobs.
All right, so what do we got here? We've got police officer, U.S. Army captain, U.S. Navy cryptologist. Registrar with the Honolulu Mayor's Office of Culture and the Arts, a senior software engineer, a German police lieutenant. How about a European Aerospace Research Center in Munich, an X-ray technologist, an aircraft mechanic? I don't see washed up TV personality anywhere.
Irreverent
on there.
Talk show host isn't on there. No, in fact, it is not. You know, this just goes to show that there's vice presidents on here, there's CEOs, there's pilots, there's pretty much anything you can think of is covered here. And it just goes to show that Star Wars is across all comers.
Yeah.
And also above and beyond that, it's a community within a community.
Right. And, we can't crucify the guy forever for what he said, but
I'll try.
But I'm really happy that StarWars.com posted that story. It's a great story, and it just kind of, when you know you're right, you don't have to fight. You don't have to argue.
Right.
And clearly, these guys, they don't need to justify who they are and what they do.
Right.
He clearly just doesn't get it. Right. And we
kind of have, been going over this and over this, but it's so important to realize how much of an impact these guys, and not only them, but all the other organizations as well, have on the Star Wars community and also just on the community in general. And it was an outstanding part of the Star Wars Spectacular, but it's just a small sample of what they do.
Right. And I mean, if you listen to the microcast this week, you got the full interview, and you just couldn't ask for, four more well-spoken, soft-spoken, nice, down-to-earth, friendly Star Wars fans.
Right.
And,
they really don't ask for anything in turn other than, hey, just don't make fun of us when you don't know what's going on.
Right.
I'm talking to you, Bob Eubanks.
I still would love to see an entire legion of troopers just converge on his house. Bob Eubanks. All right. Anyway, moving on, our next story, the Star Wars saga in 3D. And, I tell you what, the issue of Star Wars being in 3D is kind of a saga on its own. Because, you have Rick McCallum, who's made a lot of very public statements about their desire to want to do this, the fact that they have the technology, the fact the only thing holding this up are the folks that that operate, run, and own the theaters, because there just aren't enough digital setups in these big multiplexes to satisfy the demand that would be for these films. So a reader of StarWars.com probably had it up to here with all the rumor and innuendo and said, hey, last year I heard rumors about Star Wars being re-released in theaters in 2007 in 3D as part of its 30th anniversary. Is this still happening? And the official answer here from the folks at Lucasfilm is, at this time, there are no definitive plans or dates for releasing the Star Wars saga in 3D. While this is still a project that intrigues us, Lucasfilm's focus is on the exciting activities surrounding the 30th anniversary, as well as the production of the animated Star Wars television series, the next Indiana Jones adventure, and other entertainment projects. Okay. You know, they put it up in a pretty visible place. I mean, it was right there on the homepage at StarWars.com, the link to this Q&A where this was on there. You know, it's one of those things. We talked about this last week. Is it like the original trilogy? Is this something that they're going to go, oh, surprise, and they're announcing it at C4, or they're going to announce it, you know, in March or April? It seems hard to imagine a 30th anniversary year without some sort of theatrical release.
I agree, and I think that was part of the thinking when this first kind of started to break ground. But the biggest problem, I think, is that it's out of their hands. This is one thing that George hasn't really been able to control, and no matter how much he gets James Cameron and Peter Jackson and Steven Spielberg and Jeffrey Katzenberg and all those people that they got to go to the theater convention last year and say,
theater
look,
owners,
if you guys don't start doing this, we're not going to make movies for you anymore. And, you know, they just have kind of blown it off, and there's been no movement on it. It's about money. And if there's not enough places to support it, they're going to let it die, but it's sad.
Yeah, it is. And it's a catch-22, because I think the situation that you have is that movie theaters are, in general, bleeding because of home video. And the fact that your home theater system is so sophisticated and so much better technologically than some movie theaters even, and you don't have to deal with the public and that sort of thing. You know, Lucas is saying, look, we're going to lose going to the movie theater as a part of American culture unless we can do something, take a giant leap forward, and separate ourselves from what people can do at home. And 3D is one way to do that. The catch-22 is they need the money to do it. Right. And right now, there's just theater audiences are dropping.
Right. And it's sad. It is sad, like I said, because we did get a chance to see a movie redone in 3D.
Right, Nightmare Before Christmas.
We went and saw Nightmare Before Christmas, and it is such a different experience.
It was unbelievable.
It was so... And you and I may have gone to 3D movies when we were a kid. I went to Jaws 3D.
A Freddy movie. Yeah. One of the Freddy movies.
I went to Captain EO in... starring Michael Jackson in Disney World. And 3D was cool. It was interesting. But, you know, it was ridiculous. You had to wear those ridiculous glasses. It was red and blue. It was everything. We went for this show, and they just gave you kind of a large pair of, it looked like army surplus sunglasses. And you went in there, and you sat down, and it wasn't uncomfortable.
No.
It wasn't.
The lenses seemed to be clear.
Yeah, it seemed to just be, you could turn and look and still see the person next to you perfectly. And it wasn't nauseating. It didn't have that vertigo feel to it.
No.
Like old 3D used to have. And it was such a new experience for movies.
Yeah.
And the whole time I'm sitting there thinking to myself, if this was Star Wars right now, I would probably not be able to stay sitting in my seat. I would probably be jumping up
because
there's
imagine?
No movie that lends itself even more to the 3D. I mean, all I can envision is the trench run and, you know, there's incoming fighters and all of a sudden three TIE fighters
there.
Zoom past your head.
And I remember when they actually played, this has been a couple years now that they actually had run a film, a sample of the first few minutes of A New Hope in 3D. And, you know, Callum was just raving about it. And of course, in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, red and green, the Jaws 3D, you know, or the red and blue or whatever. That's my vision of 3D. And until we went and saw Nightmare, you know, that was going to be my idea of it. And it's nothing like that.
It's absolutely
such an
nothing
experience.
Like it. And I wish it would be something that would get more momentum. And I'm somewhat surprised because, you know, the digital revolution never really caught on. And maybe that's what the movie owners are thinking, is there haven't been that many films released digitally that have really been outstanding.
Yeah,
Star Wars being a huge exception.
Right.
And maybe they're just not willing to invest the money, knowing that there may not be other movies that are invested in it. But if people got a taste of what this was like and what you could do with this technology, they would be chomping at the bit.
Well,
to get
their hands on. I kind of go back to the thing of, long lines and people being turned away at the box office. That's part of Star Wars. So if you only have, a handful of theaters per state that can, support this, I say release it anyway.
Yeah, it's going to last an entire summer.
Right. I mean, the first run of Star Wars, it ran for over a year in the theaters.
Yeah.
So.
And the special editions ran for.
Yeah, they ran for a good while.
Ran for a good while, but they had an intended limited release, and it was right. By no means had it.
Well,
and
each one, if I remember right, in the Jedi was actually moved up a week or two, but they were all running concurrently with each other. So, I mean, they held over. I remember them holding over A New Hope, and I think they held over Empire, too. So, I mean, these films, their track record speak for themselves. I think it'd be quite a spectacle. It'd be kind of cool to see everybody lining up again. Or queuing up, as they say.
And if there's anybody that can do it, it's going to be George.
That's right. That's right. And we got another story here about, speaking of films, fanboys. Our good buddy Mike Barrick from Maryland tipped us off on a story that was over at posted at VH1.com. An interview with a couple of members of the cast, including Kristen Bell. And just some more information is coming out about the film. Of course, we did an interview with Kyle Newman, the director of Fanboys, and you can check that out in our archives. But now as we're getting closer to the now August release date, I think it's August 17th or something of this year.
Sounds right.
Some more details are coming out. I did not know that the four friends in this film are the characters are supposed to be from Ohio, which is where we're from. That's pretty cool.
That is very cool.
Just some confirmation here, some confirmation on cameos by Carrie Fisher, Billy Dee Williams, and what? William Shatner.
Now, why is Captain Kirk in there?
Well, they answer that, and they say because there's a big-ass battle, and I'm quoting here, there's a big-ass battle between all the Trekkies and the fanboys. So, and I guess the only one that could break up that fight would be Bill Shatner. So, but anyway, there's some good quotes in here by, Kristen Bell and then the other gentleman that's in the film.
Jay Baruchel?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce it, but.
Jay Baruchel or Baruchel.
But if anyone saw Million Dollar Baby, he played Danger, which was the boxer who was trying to make it and just wasn't very good. Did an outstanding job in that, so I'm looking forward to seeing him again.
Yeah, I mean, having actors of this caliber in this film, I'm really excited for this movie. I know we've been talking about it forever. I think it's going to be worth the wait, totally worth the wait. There is a quote in here by Belle. She said that she was astonished at the turnout of real-life fanboys who helped make the prop room look like a storage closet at Jabba the Hutt's palace. She says, quote, all the fans drove in from hundreds of miles away to bring their Star Wars equipment to be featured in the movie. So, again, Star Wars fans just pitching in, getting their swag over to the studio or to the set to, dress it up and make it look legitimate. So, Baruchel or Baruchel, I know we're not saying that right. I guess if we keep pronouncing it various ways, we're bound
eventually
to hit on
we'll,
it.
Statistics say we'll get it right.
I'm sure Jay Shepard will tell us. It says, it clearly will appeal to all people, all the nerd posse, but it's also just a darn funny movie. I'm going to paraphrase there. A darn funny movie and one of those great road trip comedies. I guess it's for people who want to go sit down for an hour and a half and laugh their butts off. So, I mean, of course, this is going to mean a lot more to the folks that are really in on the joke, but I think it's going to be entertaining and funny for anybody that's just into a good comedy. So, those are pretty much your hard news stories for the week. We do have some collecting stories. And we'll kick off some collecting news here with finally we have decent photos of the Ambush on Ilum battle pack. Now, if you remember, this battle pack features the Snow Bunny Padme, but not as she appeared in the Clone Wars animated cartoon series, but more of a realistic cinematic or film look, based on, of course, Natalie Portman. Okay. Now we've got real photos, and not grainy little photos taken with a cell phone, you know, at some trade show in over in China or what have you. These are real decent photos, and I gotta say, after all this wait and anticipation about Snow Bunny Padme, I'm disappointed. And it really is not a good figure. I would have much rather had them stick with the Tartakovsky look and style, because it's not translating for me.
I'm not nearly as disappointed as you are, you know, even though...
You don't love her like I do.
That may be true. I think she does look somewhat ridiculous without the cloak on. I don't know. I just don't know how to describe her head, because it's fine till you get to her head, which is then kind of...
Well, she's wearing that cap.
Misshapen. Yeah, the cap. She kind of looks like one of those 1950s synchronized swimmers, you know, that wore the white cap and it looked like they were bald, but they really weren't.
I think she looks like she could be playing guitar for Robert Palmer, actually. She kind of has that Ice Queen look, which, hey, I guess it's
maybe that's what they're going
maybe
for.
Maybe that's what they're going for. So, hey, we love you, Hasbro, but...
Well, and
swing and a miss on this one, I'm afraid.
Just like some people I know, you put the cloak on them and they look fine. Not going to get into some specifics on that.
All right. And we don't have photos of this, unfortunately, but over at Galactic Blogger, one of the writers over there claims to have seen a sneak peek of the upcoming Macquarie concept Darth Vader figure. Now, as you know, part of the 30th anniversary figure line, basic figure line, is with every wave, there's going to be a Ralph Macquarie concept figure. This Vader joins the ranks of the Boba Fett and also the Stormtrooper. Well, so we've got some details. Now, there, again, no photos, but they did kind of place a picture. Dan Curto paired this up with some Macquarie artwork. And here's what we can tell you, quoting here. The original Man in Black is decked out with a lot of articulation. In addition to the usual articulation, here's what you can expect. Ball-jointed knees, ball-jointed shoulders, swivel elbows, wrists that turn, ankles that pivot. And as far as the neck, he says the Vader is decked out with a very cool flowing cape, unlike any we've ever seen before. Fabric cape. Okay. That can usually be kind of iffy, the fabric cape. I'm a fan of the plastic cape because it's a sculpted plastic figure anyway. I don't really need a... Well, you know how I feel about real clothing on 3 3/4 inch figures.
Yes.
Anyway, he says the cape is a separate piece that actually attaches to the figure below the neck, completely enclosing it. Think a reverse turtleneck.
I have a couple of those.
They're only reversed after you have worn them for half the day and they're all turning in on themselves.
I also have some of those same features, like ball-jointed knees and swivel elbows.
He goes on to say, from what I can discern, the head is ball-jointed for allowing maximum posing. And the helmet, he says, is a work of art. Very samurai with cool accents to make his cheek area look more menacing. And the mask does have a lot of great detail work, consistent with, of course, the Macquarie design. He also has a holster attached to his right leg, which means that hopefully he'll be coming with a blaster in addition to the sword. So, anyway, we'll have the link to this post over at our show notes. So, some positive things there. That sounds like a very cool figure, and I have not been disappointed. Now we've seen photos of two of these, the Boba Fett and the Stormtrooper, and they're great.
They're great, and the EU packs that we've seen that have started to leak out in retail have been really good. They've done a nice job with those. So that, I think they've really tried very hard to give those other interpretations of Star Wars art justice
right.
in these figures. And so far, they've done an outstanding job, and I am chomping at the bit to get my hands on these.
Well, remember the Saga Legends poll?
I did.
Okay, we all did that voting.
Yes.
Stuff. Yeah, well, they're changing it. But not real bad. There's just been one slight change. Originally planned to be a re-release of the Saga Collection Chewbacca, the Cloud City Capture version. It's going to be changed, and it'll be the Revenge of the Sith Chewbacca. That would be the number 5 figure in the line, complete with Wookiee rage. And as I was reading this story, I was like, yeah, I'm kind of experiencing some Wookiee rage right now. But I mean, it's not that big of a deal, but you know, you and I have kind of questioned the continuous release or re-release of Revenge of the Sith figures, and you know, plentifully. I'm having a hard time speaking tonight myself. figures that, you know, were plentiful. And but then again, really, so was pretty much the Cloud City Capture Chewbacca. I mean, we just saw a re-release of that anyway. So it's like pick your poison. But anyway, so there is a change. How do you feel about that?
I'm somewhat indifferent.
Well, tell me about Sideshow. Tell me about this story with the new look of their packaging.
Well, we talked about this quite some time ago. Star Wars is looking to give a united feel to all of its high-end collectibles, and so they are going with a uniform packaging. And Sideshow has debuted its uniform packaging for the Leia as Boosh.
I used to have the read-along book,
mm-hmm.
and I'll never forget the way the narrator said it, and a bounty hunter named Boosh. Do you remember those books?
Of course.
Yeah, you'll know it's time to turn the page when you hear R2-D2. Yeah, okay.
But anyway, moving right. on. This is a nice, it's a very classic black and gray look. It's very nice. It's very well done.
They are cool.
They're very cool. Although I do have to say, like I said back when we first heard about this, Sideshow had done an outstanding job with their packaging, and I think they've done. I just got a couple of them recently, and they're really fantastic. And all the photos and all everything that's on there, it's really actuated by all the colors that they use to describe yeah. the Jedi. You know, the Jedi's green, the Sith are red, and I think it just really has brought out a little bit more of what was going on. Now, not to say that they're not going to be able to match that, but I liked them being able to be creative on their own.
Well, I understand, and I remember one of your concerns was, is the integrity of the packaging going to hold up? Because the way they package these figures at Sideshow is just awesome. It's outstanding. And it looks like they've kept the same design. The architecture of the packaging is the same. It's still going to probably have the magnetic flap that opens and reveals the figure and then the accessories laid out side by side. So what you're typically familiar with, it's just the artwork has just changed.
Yeah, and it's still going to be outstanding. There's no doubt about that. It's just a little bit of a change, and we all have to get used to change.
That is correct. And speaking of cha-change, cha-ching, and Sideshow, yes, there is another. There is another creature pack that actually is going on pre-sale today as this podcast goes live, Friday, January 19th. So head on over to Sideshow. They typically do these around 1 o'clock Eastern time, 10 o'clock Pacific. And this is if we only had Jay Shepard. The Bubuicular creature pack.
Bibocular? Bubuocular?
Now be careful there, the way you're saying it.
Uh-oh. That's a good thing FCC doesn't chime in on podcasts.
Right. Anyway, it just comes with some more creatures from the Jabba's Palace sequence in Return of the Jedi. So I got to hand it to them. I mean, they are going all out, Sideshow, with this.
They are going all out, and this is going to be a complete scene
once
everything gets done. But
Hot and carbonite. One of the
things that
my fingers there, folks.
Really surprised me is I got the Salacious Crumb, obviously, before Jabba, so he's not sitting on anything. But it's huge. Like, it's so much bigger than what
I have an open mind
than
yet.
What I expected. I mean, it's the size of a 3¾ figure.
Wow.
Which, you know, he's always been that tiny little spider monkey on the end of Jabba's little thing right. here. So it was amazing for that thing that I went, like, oh my God, it's huge.
Well, the one that came with the Ula exclusive figure looked like right. it came out of a gumball machine, you know. It wasn't very substantial.
Right. So I'm actually almost in fear of what Jabba's going to look like. It's going to be gigantic.
Yeah, I think it's going to, there's really no way I'm going to be able to hide this one from my wife. I've been able to hide some of them, but that one, it's going to be a little bit of a problem. And we'll turn the page to some EU news here, just a couple of things. Timothy Zahn, of course, the great...
Noted author,
that is right. One that kind of breathed new life into Star Wars, but way back when, with the Thrawn trilogy. He's got a new book coming out, and he's going to be touring in support of that. And, of course, the book is Allegiance. And he's going to be all over. We've got dates starting January 31st. He's going to be in Portland, Oregon, Seattle, Washington, Philadelphia, PA, Lexington, Kentucky, Nashville, Tennessee, my adopted hometown, Dallas, Texas, Atlanta, Georgia, Anchorage, Arkansas, and New York, New York. I didn't see anywhere in Ohio on there, unfortunately. So,
and that comes as a huge surprise to me.
Yeah, well,
and by huge surprise, I mean not at all.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so if you're in any of those cities, make sure you check it out on our show notes. We'll have the complete schedule, courtesy of the folks, actually courtesy of Jay Shepard. So I know that Jay has actually met Timothy Zahn, hasn't he?
I believe so. I actually maybe even on several occasions.
Okay.
He says he's always enjoyable and really is good to talk to in person because he answers a lot of questions about the books and about what's going on. And from what Jay has said, this is an outstanding offering that he's... that Allegiance has really taken a new spin on a lot of things.
Yeah, I believe that Jay's already read it.
Yeah. He got a preview copy.
Yeah. Must be nice. But I'm sure he'll be chiming in with a review of that shortly. So check it out. Meet up with Tim Zahn. And, you know, I don't know. I can't read I can't see the future, but I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up a guest here in the canteen on the Forcecast.
We have had some outstanding guests, and he would just be one in another great line.
Well, speaking of EU books, finally we have some cover art for number 5 in the Legacy of the Force series, Sacrifice, by Karen Travis. Artwork by Jason... What?
You say finally, like, I've been waiting forever for this. We haven't even gotten to read book 3 yet, and you're already looking for art for cover 5.
Well, you know how Star Wars fandom is. It's fast and furious.
Yes.
Anyway,
but
it's
just around the corner.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've got some artwork for it by Jason Felix, and it's over there at StarWars.com. You can check it out. And features Mara Jade on the front cover. And then there is kind of a ghostly, as they say, ghostly image of Luke Skywalker on the back. I think that they're reading a little too much in that. I don't think that it's ghostly as in... he's dead. I think it's ghostly as in maybe it's a dream or it's a vision. There's no way they're going to kill off Luke Skywalker in a paperback.
Stranger things have happened. You're just going to have
name
to read
three.
And find out.
While you're thinking of that, let me move on to the prequel trilogy is getting... paperback treatment in from Dark Horse. I'm sorry, Del Rey. Did I say Dark Horse?
You did. It happens.
Yeah, Del Rey.
Strange things.
Del Rey has this bind up. Star Wars, the prequel trilogy, is due out in May, and it's a paperback book collecting the three prequel film adaptations in one, as it says here, easy to carry book. Boasting 1,126 pages. But we were talking before the show, Pete, and I correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't this the first time we've seen the prequel trilogy collected and branded as such? And you know, any kind of a collection?
And pretty much anything. I have to agree with you. I haven't Yeah, they didn't do...
They didn't do a three-pack of
three-pack
DVDs.
Of the movies
that,
yet.
That I'm aware of.
Unless it was shrink-wrapped by Best Buy.
Right.
Illegally. they didn't do a combination CD.
No. So I think this is really the first time... I mean, we've always called it the prequel trilogy, but it's kind of interesting to see it official and in print. And if we're wrong about this, I know we'll get emails.
Sure.
So, anyway, that's your news for this week, unless you have something you want to add.
That wraps it up for me.
All right, we've got Kelsey McCullough coming up in the cantina. Stand by.
This is The Forcecast with Jason and Pete.
I recognized your foul stench when I was brought on board.
The galaxy is listening.
Star Wars, Star Wars Cantina.
Where are you going, Master?
For a drink.
Sorry about the mess.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy. We must be cautious.
Right now, we're joined by Kelsey McCullough, who was lucky enough to be on one of the floats as Queen Amidala. Welcome, Kelsey. Thanks for coming on the Forcecast.
Thank you.
Now, we'll jump right into it. How did this come about? I mean, how did you get to do this kind of thing? It seems like it's a pretty big deal. So,
well, I've been volunteering with Mary Franklin at different conventions for about 4 years, and I came to work at Lucasfilm. And the day before, I was staying with her, and she asked me if I wanted to be in the Rose Parade because she knew I'd fit in the dress.
Well, that's very lucky. That's not a bad way to get the gig.
Absolutely not.
Well, obviously all the build up to it was great, but I'm sure the day was very hectic and you had to start very early. Can you kind of give us an idea of what it was like?
We started at 2 a.m. and we all bussed over to Azusa to our trailer. I sat in makeup from 3 to 4, and then from 4 till 7 we were just kind of hanging out. And then at 7 we got all dressed up, and 7:30 we walked out, and 8 we rolled.
Wow, so there was 6 hours from the time you got up until you guys actually rolled out onto the parade.
Exactly.
Route. Was it nerve-wracking? Did it feel like it was even longer than that?
No, it actually went by really, really fast, because I was hanging out with the Ewoks, the other Queens, Chewie was there, so we were all kind of hanging out, and it was really fun. And then we rolled, and it was over before I knew it.
Did you go to sleep the night before? I was thinking about this earlier, that knowing that you had to be up early, and I didn't even realize it was going to be as early as 2 a.m., it would almost be like a Christmas Day type thing, where I don't think I could even go to sleep. Did you get any sleep before...
Well, we went to bed at around 10, but I didn't sleep until 12, and then I was up at 2, so technically no.
Yeah, that doesn't really count. So what was the parade like?
It was short, and it was a lot of fun, because I had James, who played Mace Windu, standing in front of me, and he was so funny. He got the crowd going and going and going. Every time we'd turn our heads, somebody was cheering for us. Was awesome.
That's great. Now, can you kind of describe your position on the float? Because I'm sure most of our listeners at least saw pictures of the float and you know, the different areas that some of the people were on. Where specifically were you located at?
I was on the Naboo float on the left side of the back. So that's non-camera side on the back of the float. And I was on, like, ground level.
Okay, but you were actually riding, though. They didn't make you walk.
No. My dress was way too heavy to walk in.
Well, that brings up an interesting question. What was the costume like?
It was heavy. It was about 3 yards of fur. Which is really... So I had to walk out without the overcoat on.
Oh, so wow.
When I got onto the float is actually where I got dressed.
It was that heavy. Do you have an approximate on how heavy it was, or?
It was probably 6 to 10 pounds.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and that was all on my arms, because it's a big cloak.
Mm-hmm.
So waving really got tiring, and I waved the whole time.
Probably couldn't put your hands up at the end of the ride.
Actually, with the day after, it was
It was the worst. It's like being in a car accident.
Exactly, my neck hurt.
So, did you get to interact? You said you got to interact with Ewoks and Chewie. Did you get to interact with anybody from the 501st or anybody else of note? Or
oh yeah, the lobby of the Sheridan was taken over by the 501st, and I hung out there all 3 days, just hanging out with everybody. I'm trying to get armor made, so got to get in good with the 501st.
That's right. You got to know who to schmooze with.
Exactly. And also, well, 3PO was hanging out there, Chris, so I got to see how his costume worked. It was pretty awesome.
Now, were there any other celebrities or anybody that of note that stopped by or showed up at all? Or
the lead singer of Filter was in the hotel one night. I believe that's it, and George stopped by one night with the 501st.
We did see photos of that, and if you didn't get a chance to see that, you can check it out on theforce.net, but it was really cool to see him just address everybody and address the troops so that was really cool to watch the whole thing develop as it went.
So proud.
Well, and it was a great sight. The floats came off great, and the 501st did an excellent job, and the Grambling Band did a great job, so that all the elements of Star Wars really stole the show, I thought. Did you get to see any of the footage of the parade? Or?
I was there the day before for dress rehearsal,
mm-hmm.
So I got to actually see them walking and marching with the music and everything, and then I didn't see the footage of the parade until 2 days later, because my parents were there, so they recorded everything for me.
Well, that's always nice to have somebody in the crowd taking photos for you.
Yeah, half of a bandstand yelled out my name, and my parents were waving like crazy. It was awesome.
That's great. It's always nice to have your own cheering section as well.
Absolutely.
Now, how much prep time was it that you put in all to this as far as going for the costumes and photos and everything that was all together?
Well, dress rehearsal, it took about 2 days. I mean, fully, and then one night of sleeping, and then it was 2 days of just going and working. To get into the costume, it was probably about 2 hours.
Wow.
Taking it out was about 20 minutes.
And I'll bet at that point you just couldn't wait to get it off and almost want to dive out of it.
Dive right into the shower.
Was it hot that day? Was it too bad with the costume and everything?
Well, I was planning on it being really cold because it's really early. And as soon as we started rolling, I was on the sunny side.
Oh, wow.
It was hot, yeah. But it was okay because it was just so much fun. It didn't matter. You didn't realize it was hot until after.
Well, if you can give us one major moment from the whole weekend, sum it up for us.
4 o'clock on Sunday, when the UK 501st decided it was New Year's and they celebrated New Year's. That was probably the best moment, with everybody singing and dancing and drinking. It was pretty awesome.
Well, if there's one group that not only knows how to march but also knows how to party, it's the 501st. So I think we're all looking forward to getting back together with them at Celebration 4 and cracking the party up once again.
Oh, yeah. I'll be there.
Thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to the Weekly Forcecast, brought to you by RebelScum.com and TheForce.net.
You must contact me.
Play back the entire message.
What message?
Message, Arthur. The message.
The Emperor commands you to make contact with him.
It's a trick. Send no reply.
And once again, it's time for your Star Wars Tales and listener email. So we'll kick it off with Kenny from California. And Kenny, I love Kenny. Kenny sent us an MP3, and it's just so much more exciting, you know, than you and I mean, droning on and reading these emails. So Kenny, you did the right thing, buddy. Here is Kenny in California with his Star Wars tale.
Hey guys, my name's Kenny. I'm from California. I just wanted to give you my first experience with Star Wars. I can remember I was 7 years old and sitting in the theater watching those credits roll and just thinking to myself, wow. I mean, it was a seven-year-old dream come true. Aliens, spaceships, laser fights, and robots. It couldn't get any better than that. God, for months and months, I remember reenacting every scene with friends over and over again. When Darth Vader walked through that door for the first time, I mean, I just held my breath. It was just so awesome. And of course, Han Solo was just the coolest guy in the world. Lucky for me, my dad loved Star Wars as much as I did, and he took us back for a total of 14 times to see it while it was in the theaters. I collected movie cards, comic books, all the action figures, and played with them until they were worn out. I actually still have quite a bit of my Star Wars action figures, the original ones. What can I say? Star Wars shaped my childhood. It made me the sci-fi fantasy lover that I am today. And I will always have a special place for it in my heart. And I just wanted to thank George Lucas for making such a wonderful movie. It just lets a child's imagination soar. And it'll never be the same with any other movie. Thanks, guys, for doing this awesome podcast. And may the Force be with you.
And thank you very much, Kenny. We appreciate that. Great Star Wars tale.
That puts it very much the way a lot of us feel.
Yeah. I think that's why we just don't let it die, because we don't want that feeling to end. It's
like a good burger.
That's one way to put it. Well, we've got another email here, Star Wars Tale from Gabrielle. Gabriel Isis, I believe, and he's in Mexico, in Tijuana, and he says, thank you guys for the New Year special podcast. It was a very well put together show and really got to me. I was laughing all throughout the show. I hope he wasn't laughing at us. And also listening to you talk about toys, comics, books, and the movies, it brought memories like when I saw Star Wars for the first time in 1995, because a family friend brought it home and nobody liked it but me. Actually, I've loved it ever since. Then how hard I worked during the summer break of 1997, he's not sure of the year, I think he's right, to buy my special edition VHS. And you made me remember how I was in front of my TV one regular night, like any other night, alone in my living room, while everyone was having dinner, while out of nothing, this beautiful footage appears on Extra. They didn't say what it was at first, but I knew the second I saw it. A new Star Wars movie. It has to be. It was the trailer for Episode 1. I was so freaking excited. I didn't even know they were making it. It still gives me chills when I remember all those things. And I feel proud to be a Star Wars fan, because Star Wars is beautiful. Thank you guys for helping us remember. And please keep up the good work. Again, Gabrielle from Tijuana, Mexico. Thank you, Gabrielle. And yeah, it, you know, being a Star Wars fan, it's full of moments like that. You know, like I was talking about when you we did my little bit in the cantina about walking into the movie theater before I was, you know, online and seeing the standee for the special edition being released to the theater, and just is amazing. So I can imagine what Gabrielle must have felt, just, you know, chilling, watching Extra or whatever the show was, and seeing the trailer.
And we also have to give a shout out to all the fans in Tijuana, Mexico.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
So, and I have a Star Wars tale.
Okay.
From John in Connecticut. And John
who sings your praises?
Yes. And again, John, I really apologize for sending you that invitation. I don't know how it got on there or what on there. John wrote us an email and I replied back and somehow it got mixed up. But anyway, he was a good sport about it. Anyway, he says, during the summer of 1980, my family went on our yearly summer trip to Cape Cod, Massachusetts. We had always shared a cottage with my cousins. And this summer, my favorite older cousin, Mike, was obsessed with collecting the Star Wars trading cards. So, of course, I begged my father to take me to the local convenience store each day to buy Star Wars cards. I loved looking at all the pictures of spaceships, aliens, the stickers, and I still remember getting my first Darth Vader card. I thought he looked so cool. Later in the week, my mother took me to a candy store and got me a bag of treats. She told me I was going someplace special with my dad. We got in the car and ended up at the movie theater. Yes, you guessed it. My old man was taking me to see The Empire Strikes Back. I don't remember much of the movie during that viewing because I was only five, but after the show, I saw something that was just about the coolest thing. We walked into the parking lot after the show, and there he was walking to his car, Darth Vader. To this day, I don't know if he was a fan or just a promotion, but to see a live Darth Vader after seeing the movie was just the coolest thing ever. That year was one unbelievable event after the other. I continued collecting the cars and started collecting the toys. Later in the summer, my dad took my brother and I to see The Great Muppet Caper. My father yelled at me continuously because I had taken a portable radio and watched Empire on the adjacent screen. I guess I had the volume up too loud. Never stopped loving The Empire Strikes Back, and of course it's my favorite today. As the years went on, I got older and I put my toys away until 10th grade. My buddy gave me Heir to the Empire. I was never a good reader, but that night I didn't sleep. I read about 3/4 of the book, and the next day all the toys came back out, and I haven't stopped reading, collecting, and dreaming ever since. Even my 2-year-old daughter knows who Darth Maul and Yoda are. Thanks. That just gives me chills. I mean, there's nothing better than combining a memory of a parent or a sibling or a cousin and the Star Wars universe. It just gives me chills because those are the greatest memories you can have.
They are. And that's what kind of makes one of the things, so many things, that makes being a Star Wars fan meaningful is the fact that I know I relate so much of my Star Wars fandom in childhood with family. And, there goes my cell phone. This is the first time.
Who doesn't know you're doing a podcast?
Would you like to know who it is? You know who it is?
Is it?
Who would call us in the middle of recording our show? I believe it's Dustin Roberts. So I'm going to answer it. Hello? Only Dustin would call us. We're live on the air right now. I hope you know. Yeah, we're recording the show right now, and I will not edit this out. I said, who am I talking to? What? I was talking to Pete. You know, we're doing our little Forcecast.
Yeah, we have this podcast that you might not know about.
Yeah, you might have heard of this thing called the Forcecast.
In fact, I believe your picture was on our forums this week.
You know what? I did, and I was going to send you that email tonight, and thank you, and you reminded me. I'll just thank you here on the show, but it was awesome. It was awesome. The stuff was great. All right, are you going to be online afterwards? Okay, cuz we might want to chat with you for a minute. All right, buddy. Bye-bye. Sorry about that, folks. Nothing like getting a call from your show's producer, you know, and right in the middle of it.
Are you guys doing that show? What's going on over there?
Oh my gosh. Sorry about that interruption, folks.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, he was like, I just wanted to know if you got the package I sent you. And of course, we did. And Pete, you got your swag, and I got my swag. So he sent us a lot of really cool stuff. So thanks, Dustin.
It's good to know the king.
Good to know the king? Not yet.
President
right now.
That just doesn't work as well.
But he will. Sorry, I was going to go into my very affected Ian McDiarmid impression. But I won't.
And we have derailed. Thank you, Dustin Roberts.
When this crisis has abated. All right. Let's get back to the show. All right. We've got a couple of Star Wars tales here from Will in New Jersey. But I'm going to read the second one. This one is just... I mean, they're both really good, but this one is great. He says, when episode 1 was released in theaters, my wife worked in a corporate office. This office included a grill room stationed in the cafeteria where she would go to eat lunch. Now, you should know that while not an obsessed fan like I am, my wife is very supportive of my fandom and enjoys watching the movies from time to time. Anyway, for a month or two surrounding the release, the grill room was filled with Star Wars life-size cutouts, inflatable Pepsi cans, and other promotional items. The grill room was sponsored by Pepsi, so that's why this stuff was on display. There was also a contest. Employees who purchased a sandwich from the grill room were given a raffle ticket. After a given amount of time, the tickets would be called for winners of each item. Needless to say, my wife bought a sandwich every day for 3 weeks to make sure that she had a lot of tickets in the pot. Finally, the day of the drawing came, and when I called her to ask if we had won, she replied, "Sorry, honey, but I wasn't picked for anything." Well, I was disappointed, but I thanked her for trying and let it go. That night I got home early, and when my wife came home later, she looked at me with a worried expression and said, "Will, I think there is something wrong with the car." It was making a strange sound all the way home. Could you go take a look? So sharing her concern, I went out to the car and took a look. Checked the tires, looked at the engine. Everything seems fine to me, I said. To which she replied, no, I think the weird sound came from the trunk. I opened the trunk and inside was an R2-D2 beverage cooler, which was the grand prize for the raffle. To add to the surprise, my wife had attached a piece of paper on R2 which said, beep boop, referring to the strange sound the car was making all the way home. So to this day, the R2-D2 cooler sits proudly on display in our house as my greatest collectible, not for any monetary value, but because it came from my beloved wife. I consider myself truly blessed to be married to such a wonderfully supportive person. Thanks for taking the time to read this extensive email. I look forward to listening to many more Forcecasts. May the Force be with you, Will from New Jersey. So thank you, Will, and thank you, Mrs. Will, for being such a cool wife.
Yes.
I mean, how neat is that? That was great. That's why we do these Star Wars tales, because, you know, it was really one of those things when we had thought about it and had discussed throwing this out there. I really didn't think that we would get that many. And we just get a ton.
Yeah,
we have to cut them.
We've got
and if we don't read yours, it's not because it's not good. Sometimes it's because maybe there's one really close to that or similar to it, you know.
Or we're just that far behind.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that's true. So if we haven't read yours and you sent it, you know, last month, we still might get to it.
Yes.
Because they're timeless. So we also have some great just regular listener mail this week. We're going to start off. This is a voicemail from Marissa. So take it away, Marissa.
Hey, Jason and Pete. This is Marissa Hool, and I'm calling because I have found you guys and am thrilled that finally someone is doing a podcast for Star Wars. I'm absolutely amazed at the amount of work you guys put into this, and I am so very grateful that you guys are doing this. You have no idea. But I also wanted, I went back and I listened to all of you guys' podcasts. Yes. And I'm wondering where the feminine side of this is. I listened to you guys' recap of 2006, and I went, okay, this is great. Where are the girls? Where are the women in Star Wars that are standing up and being like, no, this isn't just a male thing. Star Wars can have girl nerd fans, too. So keep that in mind. I'm sure you guys have already probably thought of it and addressed it, but I just wanted to let you know that that's my line of thought, and of course, naturally, I'm always willing to. No, I'm kidding. But you guys are doing great. So keep up the awesome work. I am listening at the moment. And keep up the good work, guys. You're doing great. Thank you so much for doing this. Bye.
Thank you, Marissa. Okay. All right, fine. I see what she's saying.
We need a feminine side.
Yes.
Maybe to the podcast. Maybe not to us directly.
Okay. All right. Because I cry regularly. So, I mean, I'm very much
in touch. I spilled my milk this morning.
I'm very in touch with my feminine side. No, I see what she's saying. So I'm going to say this to you, Marissa, you out there, wherever you're from. You didn't say where you were from.
I believe she did, but.
Oh, did she? Yeah. No, she just said her first and last name.
Oh, that's
name.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. What we'd like you to do, Marissa, is send us something. Send us an MP3 or a WAV file, preferably MP3. They're smaller.
don't get picky now.
With you providing us the equal time. Well, I shouldn't say equal time because, you know, we're on the show for at least an hour. But give us a couple minutes of you providing a feminine approach to a news item or something relating to Star Wars fandom. And we'll just, hey, we'll see what happens. So send that to podcast@theforce.net.
And if there's anyone out there who wants to chime in as well.
Oh, by all means.
Their feminine side.
Right.
Voicemails, MP3s. We love to hear from everybody.
Especially the ladies.
The ladies have a special place for us.
So, yeah, if you'd like to provide that other point of view, as it might be known, please send it along our way. That is a challenge to you, Marissa.
Yes.
Challenge. So, anyway, but thanks for the voicemail. We appreciate it. The next listener mail we got is from Andy in Webster, New York. And Pete, why don't you? This is a really bizarre one.
Well, Andy sent us a link to a story regarding a second Star Wars holiday special. Now, we all know about the original Star Wars holiday special and the fact that Lucasfilm didn't even acknowledge it for the better part of the 90s and into 2000s until YouTube ruined everything for them. But this is a second one, which was produced supposedly around 1982 and never aired. And it revolves around two rebels on Hoth who remain behind after the evacuation, and involves them befriending some Wampas, thwarting capture attempts by an evil agent named Darth Tyrannus, played by Christopher Lee, donning a dome from a Darth Vader helmet. And that's where it really kind of sidetracks. I thought maybe this could happen. Befriending Wampas? I don't think so.
We know that Lucas recycles names.
Sure.
You know, and you know, things from the original draft of Star Wars popped up, you know, concepts and names and ideas popped up in the prequel trilogy.
And even some of the EU stuff.
Right, exactly. So that part isn't crazy. But then you look at the photos.
I actually believe that some of these photos should have been thought about for the cover of his CD.
I don't think we ever talked about that on the show.
I don't know if we did, but
Chris Lee has just to get sidetracked here, has an album out, and I don't mean a spoken word album. I mean he sings, and he's singing like songs from musicals. He's singing some like protest songs from the 60s. It's on iTunes, so you know, do yourself a favor and check it out, please.
and then provide us with the feedback.
And then when you're done with that, look at these photos of him. And I said earlier in the show that from this one photo, it looks like he's either playing Luigi from the Super Mario Brothers game. Or I really don't know what this is. They look like they could. I don't know if they're photoshopped or they just found some. You know, Chris Lee, God love him. He's done some horrible movies
right. In
his day. I mean, you know,
and he's been in a lot of stuff.
That's just it. It's not that
most of the stuff that we probably have never seen.
Right. He's done a lot of the old Hammer horror films and. And a lot of films that I'm sure he would rather forget in the late 60s and in through the 70s. So you look at these photos and judge for yourself. If there was a sequel to the holiday special,
it would have lived up to the first, I will say that.
Yeah, if this one was
Christopher Lee in a Darth Vader helmet. needless to say, I couldn't find anything else whatsoever in any of the.
Yeah, and none of the other staffers at TFN or Rebel Scum chipped in with any confirmation about this. So I think we're all pretty much looked at it. Was like, huh?
This can't possibly be true,
right? So
we're gonna chalk it up to hoax. But man, it was worth a good laugh.
Yeah, no doubt about
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, Andy. I appreciate you sending that to us because that made my day.
Well, that does it for the listener mail. You get those. Emails into us at podcast@theforce.net. And I'm talking to you, Marissa, or any of you other ladies listening that think that we need a little bit more femininity here on The Force Cast. podcast@theforce.net, or Skype us at ForceCast, or drop us a voicemail at 330-871-4TFN.
You're listening to the Weekly Forcecast with Jason and Pete.
Well, that's going to do it for us this week. Man, these shows are going by fast.
Before we know it, we'll be sitting on a plane.
That's right, heading off to C4. Well, we want to thank our sponsor, as always, officialpicks.com. That's picks with an X.com, and congratulate them on being chosen by Lucasfilm to be the official autograph
provider.
Yeah, provider for C4. That's awesome. And don't forget to sign up for their newsletter at their site and get yourself in that drawing for this free Sam Jackson autograph. That's pretty cool.
We want to say thanks one more time to Kelsey McCullough for joining us and being patient with us of getting the show on and getting her full interview into our show. And she was great to talk to, and we really appreciate her coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks, Kelsey. Also, please remember to dig us. Dig the Forcecast at dig. That's DIGG.com. Register, go to the podcast section, do a search for Forcecast, dig the show, and then dig individual episodes as you feel, as you see fit.
And congrats again to our winners in the Forcecast forums at Rebel Scum, Night Train, and GSR Jedi. Congratulations on your copies of Lethal Alliance.
And keep that feedback coming. We've been hearing you loud and clear over the last week. So, once again, the email address, podcast@theforce.net. You can Skype us for free, username Forcecast, or drop us a voicemail at 330-871-4TFN. And make sure you check out those forums. You never know, we're going to drop another contest. And do take the time to fill out our listener survey. You'll find a link to that on our show notes over at force.net and rebelscum.com. It's all we ask, just a couple minutes of your time. Fill out that survey. Help us build a better show for all of you. Singing us out this week, we haven't done this in a while, is Cracker Jack Junction with the Yub Nub song. You got to hear this one to believe it. See you next week, folks.
When we're feeling down and out, and everything is wrong, we just pick up our chins, swallow some gin, and sing that stupid Ewok celebration song.
Yub nub,
do do.
Eat up yub nub,
do do do.
Tommy Topa Chicken, Gnoop Duck Fling, oh wah.
We do
yawa,
do do.
Eat up yawa,
do do do.
Tommy Topa Chicken, Gnoop Duck Fling, oh wah. Go to chat to yub nub, go to chat to yawa. Go teach her to glow, alleluia, turn up, alleluia, turn up,
do, do,
glow up,
do, do, do,
teach her glow,
do,
get glow up, each in form, a duty, a gunda. Go teach her to go, go teach her to do, go teach her to do, alleluia, turn up. Alleluia, turn up. Alleluia, turn up. Yep, yep.
This podcast is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names and sounds of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of the Force.net LLC unless otherwise indicated.